Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Sometimes you have ministries, you have spiritual ventures that develop so fast, you know. I'm not saying that it's all of them that religious spirits are inflating. I'm not saying that. God can do wonderful things, you know, but the devil also mimics. So with religious spirit, he makes them grow very big, very fast, very powerful before men, you know. But if you get close, you see that they don't have adobani, they don't have substance. They don't have meat. You understand? Meat. They don't have stuff that really is heavy. That makes them grounded. You know? So I want us to look at the example of Jesus. You see, in the life of Jesus, these religious spirits attacked the Lord Jesus. They wanted to let Jesus take their help. But Jesus didn't want his ministry to be bloated, his life to be bloated by religious spirits. Two times they tried in his temptation. In fact, the temptations of Jesus, as you know, he was tempted. Jesus was a prophet, priest, and king. He was tempted as a prophet. He was tempted as a priest. He was tempted as a king. As a prophet, when the devil said that if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. As a priest, when he took him to Jerusalem, to the temple, to the pinnacle, and said there were priests all over the place, and said that he should just drop down in a slow motion manner, and then he could the Bible, he shall give his angels charge. There's religious spirit in display. He loved the Bible, quoted the Bible, he will give his angels charge over you and all that. As a king, Jesus was taken to see the kingdoms of this world and the glory and the wealth and the power of them. And they say that if you bow, I would give all these things to you. Jesus was a prophet, priest, and king. And in tempting the Lord Jesus, just at the beginning of his ministry, these religious spirits wanted to come in and bloat Jesus. Do you know how bloated he would have been if he had descended in a slow motion down with all the priests around, coming from the skies like that, and then landing safely? Everybody will believe he is the Messiah from heaven. What is wrong with that? After all, he said you came from heaven. So why is it that you don't show them that you are coming from heaven? You know, it's as if they are interested in the ministry. They want to help you to gain fame before the priests. They want to help you to gain fame in Jerusalem. You see the thing? But Jesus saw through that and saw that, no, this miracle, you know, commanding stones to become bread and things like that, no. It is not a temptation to sin alone. It is a temptation to accept the work and the help of religious spirits. And he wouldn't stand for that. So sometimes in the temple, these devils, when they didn't succeed with his temptation, they will come to him and they will say, we know you. You are the Son of God. You know, you are the Son of the living God and all that. And Jesus will say, shut up. What is wrong, Jesus? What is wrong with these people, these spirits saying that you are the Son of God? Are you not the Son of God? Are you not coming from heaven and all that? All that they were saying, was it not true? It was true. The Bible says that Jesus Christ shut them up because they knew him. They knew him, but he didn't want them to speak it. Do you know why? Because if he allows them to inject their words into his ministry as if they are propping him, as if they are making him popular and things like that, he is accepting these religious spirits and their help into his earthly ministry. And Jesus Christ will not accept it. I told you that they come with some truth that he will give his angels charge over you. They will take care of you. The devil said, I mean, implied that Jesus was the Son of God. He should prove it. You understand that? But Jesus Christ saw that, no. He's twisting the word of God. He said, I'm the beloved Son of God. He is twisting the thing. He shall give his angels charge over you, and they will hold you in their arms. And you see, he's misapplying and twisting things. And now they come and say, we know you, the Holy One of God. You are the Christ. Before Peter said, you are the Christ, demons had confessed that Jesus was the Christ. You see, so that is what happened. Religious spirit, they want to have a share. They behave as if they like your popularity. You should be popular. You should change very fast. Do you understand that when I say that? Yeah, you should change very fast. Imagine that Jesus turned stones into bread, and then he is supposed to eat that. You don't know what is going to happen. Maybe he'll go and give some of the bread. Look at there. I want to show you people I'm the Son of God. Even when I was in the wilderness, I ate bread. I had 10 stones into bread and I ate. This is a sample and things like that. You know, these things are going to, it's as if Jesus' ministry will be helped. But really, really, they are injecting their venom into it. Pastor, what about a small one? It doesn't spoil anything. It spoils a lot of. The Bible says in two places or so, are you not aware that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lamp? Are you not aware? A little deceit in your life, in your ministry, it can affect everything. And unbeknown to you, you have been too affected. Everything is affected. All the way you see things, everything. You see Bible, you see church, you see people. Everything has been, they have put some dark ink into it. Oh, and the whole thing, you see, is being different to you. But it is so much leavened. Now you see, that's normal. It's not normal. Apostle Paul also had a certain pressure. You know, if you read Acts chapter 16 and then verse 16 to 18, you remember that what landed him in the Philippi jail. You know the story. Let me tell you the story. There was this young girl who had the spirit of divination. In the Greek, the word translated divination is the word python or snake. He had the spirit of a snake, you know, very deceptive. And this girl was following Apostle Paul and say that these are men of God. They show you the way of salvation. The Bible says that she did that. This girl, she had the spirit of divination. Ladies and gentlemen, divination, it comes from the word divine. In the Greek, another translation is inspiration. So she speaks in a very inspired way, like a soothsayer. In fact, all that she says, it suits you. It makes you feel fresh, so to speak. You know, the thing is very soothing, as if it's inspired, you know, because it's a spirit of divination that is very close to our divine. It's almost like heavenly. But the Greek word is a python, the spirit of it. No wonder she was saying like these religious spirits in the temple or synagogue did to Jesus. You are a man of God. You show us the way of salvation. She did it for many days, and the Bible says that Paul was annoyed. Or if you like, Paul was grieved. And so he cast the spirit out. The question is that why should Paul be grieved? When they said you were a man of God, was it not true? Are you a man of Satan? When the devil or the spirit of divination, soothing spirit, a python, deceptive spirit, when he said, they show us the way of salvation, was that not true? It was true. So why was Paul grieved? Because Paul knew that these people, there is a work God wants me to do, a ministry in Philippi, and they want to tempt me to take their help. But Paul will not take any introduction from any religious spirit. I told you, religious spirits, they like spiritual and religious things. In fact, they like church more than discos. They love to be among believers. Because that's what they are. They are religious in nature. That is why you have to be careful. You and I have to be careful. Because now, that is what religious spirits do. That is how they operate. They make you have so much pride when you take it in. Yeah, I'm a man of God. I show the way of salvation. Isn't that true? And all that. But that testimony is introducing pride into your life. It's a venom. It's a poisonous. They are injecting it into your life. They are injecting it into your ministry or whatever thing that you are doing. And at the end of the day, it inflates you with pride that you cannot tolerate anything. Hallelujah. So that is how religious spirits, these snakes, they function like living in bread. Make ministries look big suddenly. The devil is bad. He's bad. Because then you are full of pride that you are some good to God. You are like granite. Because God's value system is different from man's value system, you know. Let's look at the next thing. So beware, be careful about pride, you know. Be careful about pride. Sometimes be careful about too fast growth. I'm not saying that fast growth doesn't come from God. Some come from God, but you have to be careful and look at what is happening to you, okay? So that you really have spiritual weight before God and all that. Number two, or number four, you can choose a number. It's free. Religious spirit gets people to focus on what is wrong with them and others instead of what is right with them and others. That is the way these serpents, they operate now. Jesus says, lift up the serpents, expose the snakes, because they are deceptive. They are deceiving the people of God. The gospel of the kingdom flashes them out. So when you preach the gospel of the kingdom, these signs will follow you. You see, it's true. It's the gospel of the kingdom. You see the snakes? It's exposing the snakes, exposing religion, so that we can all see that, it's bad. We won't follow it. What these snakes do now is that they get people to focus on what is wrong with them and others instead of what is right with them and others. That is how the Pharisees were. They were people who didn't see good things. They always saw problems with people. You know, the primary characteristics of Pharisees was focusing on what was wrong with others whilst being blind to their own faults. Anytime you are always pointing fingers, you are always criticizing, it's deceptive. Sometimes you think that, you have to stand for the truth, you know. I mean, you have to defend the system and all that. It is good to do that, but be careful that it isn't a religious spirit that is whipping up that ministry. Some people make it their ministry to expose bad things, you know. Anytime they are preaching or something, they are exposing people saying, you are a sinner, you don't live well, you are dead, you are dead, you are dead, you are dead, you are dead. After we have heard the preaching, we feel so heavy, you know. But the Holy Spirit doesn't operate like that. He doesn't focus on our wrongs. He doesn't focus on our weaknesses. He focuses on our strength. When he is talking, he always tell you, you are more than a conqueror. You are righteous. Even when you are sinning, Holy Spirit will tell you, you are righteous. You are righteous. Hallelujah. But sometimes we feel like, look, let's be realistic. These people, we have to blast all of them. That is the religious way of correcting a wrong behavior. The kingdom way, as Jesus Christ always did. Look at the way he treated his churches, the seven churches. He always tell them what good thing there is with them. That is his first impulse. That is why I say that the focus is on what? The strength of people. The focus is on the good in people. What is wonderful about them. And whatever thing that is wrong about them is not the focus. It comes maybe last minute, kind of. I mean, it's backstage. So anytime you look at God's children, you can't even rejoice with them because you feel that they are all sinning. When you come to church, ladies and gentlemen, see everybody. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus has cleansed people. You may see them and retain their sins. It's different. The way God sees them is different. He sees them like Christ. It's unfortunate that they don't see themselves as Jesus is. So are they right now sitting and listening to me. It's unfortunate that they don't see themselves like that. But that's the way God sees them. So sometimes the way God speaks to us, you see that. Say, God, are you trying to tell me that me, I am your righteousness? Are you trying to tell me that me, I am anointed? Are you trying to tell me that I can do it? Are you trying to tell me that you have confidence in me? Perfect. Perfect. That is what our people need. That is the kingdom way of bringing about change. It's not by criticizing like the world. Criticize everybody in the church. Criticize everybody. Worship leader, pray pastor. I mean, everybody, your fellow. Oh, You see, that's how religious spirits are. They try to point out things, people's faults. That's how the devil is. The devil is the one who accuses you of sin. He is the one who comes to say that you would die because you are a sinner. You say you are a Christian. You are a liar. You've been lying. And look, even you follow women. You lust in your heart. You have committed adultery already. Listen, it's as if he lies righteousness. It's as if he wants you to be. The devil is the one who you read the Bible every day. Maybe you read a verse every day. He will tell you that you are not trying at all. Because whatever he will see the bad side of it. You read it every day, one verse. You say, look, you say you're a Christian. You only read one verse. Some people read one chapter. You go and read one chapter. The same accuser of the brethren, he is always accusing. Go and read one chapter. He says, oh, look at you, man of God. You read one chapter a day. Read one book. And then you go and read one book and you see that your whole life is reading Bible. Is that how God wants us to live?
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
When was God coming to Adam in the first kingdom era? Was he engaging Adam all the time? No, so why should you engage your life all the time as if every time you should be in the spirit? Hey, how can you perform? You can't perform. Hey, you see? So that is how the devil operates. He always creates it. And sometimes we take that thing to church. We think that to reform people is to bash them. It's a religious way of reforming. That one, it yields very quick results. They will say, hey, today I was bashed. The pastor rebuked me, or my father or my boss rebuked me, and all that. That I am always coming late, I'm this, I'm that. And they will reform quickly. But believe me, that reformation has not got any foundation, because it was done the way the world does. The world will topple it. The system will topple it. But if we do it God's way, the world system cannot topple it. It's permanent. It's there. That's the way God reforms people. It may be slow, but that reformation, when it comes to the person, because you kept telling the person you can pass it. Don't cheat in the exam. The others may have cheated. You did the right thing. Continue doing the right thing. God will bless you in the end. It's not, it's life. You understand that? So God, He doesn't bash children. He said, I have sworn, just as I swore during the time of Noah, I have sworn I won't rebuke you in anger. I won't be angry with you again. It's true. He's never angry with us. Never, never. It's too late. He can't be angry with us, because all of His anger, Jesus exhausted it on the cross. He has unleashed into our lives His everlasting loving kindness forever. Hallelujah. But religious spirits, they won't tell you all the good things in you in Christ Jesus. They will tell you your weaknesses as a believer. You see, a prayer meeting, you can come, and then everything is about the weaknesses of Abba. Hey, Mr. T, is it correct? Everything, hey, weakness is this, weakness is that, 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 weakness is that. Everything we are praying about, we are weak, everything, we are weak, everything, we can't do it, everything, God, everything. At the end of the day, we go out and I taught you that you have a semblance of some goose pimples and all that, but you are beating yourself down. Says that the communication of your faith become effectual by acknowledging of every good thing, not the bad things in your bad things, but acknowledge the good things which are in you in Christ. They weaken the bad things which are strong in you. They weaken it so that you get rid of them. It's powerful. Hallelujah. So that is how religious spirits operate. They operate like Pharisees. They always find faults. They don't see the log in their eyes. They are always seeing the speck other people's eyes. Speck in Ghana. You can let them get up. They condemn ourselves totally as if there is no good thing in it. Hallelujah. Can we look at the good thing in us and give a prayer topic on the good? You understand that? Not what we can't do, what we can do. Give a prayer topic on what we can do. Hallelujah. Are we lifting up some snakes? Deception. Snakes. Jesus said, lift them up. Just lift them up. Don't even kill them. Just lift them up. Let everybody see. This is a snake. It looks like it's religious. Has some truth and falsehood. Let's talk about the next one. Religious spirit, the sixth way they operate is that they try to make you circumvent the cross of Jesus by focusing, by getting you focused on your own personal sacrifice. They try to get you to forget about the sacrifice of Jesus and focus on your personal sacrifice. Do we have to always focus on the sacrifice of Jesus? Yes. Do we have to sacrifice just as he sacrificed? Yes. Should our sacrifice be all that we talk about? Should it be the focus of our lives? All that we think about? No. What we talk about, what we think about should be what? The sacrifice and the blood of Jesus. Not our blood. Not our sacrifice. That of Jesus. Hallelujah. True. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, based upon that, he also sacrificed. But it can rival Jesus'. You and I know in our lives, sometimes our own personal sacrifice for God rivals Jesus' sacrifice that he did for us. In other words, our attention is so much on that. Do you know why it is so much on ours? Because ours is very practical. Ours, we feel it. Because, look, there is no sacrifice which is easy. When you are cutting the neck of the goat, you think it's easy. Self-sacrifice, you take your own knife and you lift your head like that and you slaughter your own neck. You think it's easy? If you don't take care, it will be your message forever. Because Jesus is one. It's not that real. I mean, he died many, many years ago, but yours. It's like this man who I heard. He was an elder or somebody. No, I think he was a pastor also. I heard this story, whether it's true or not. Some people come, somebody dies and he says, oh, give it to God. I mean, it's God's matter, give it to God. Somebody's wife dies, he says, oh, it's God's matter, give it to God. And all that. Don't cry, wipe your tears. God has taken over, give it to God. And then his own wife died. And they said to him, oh, but you have been encouraging us, pastor, that we should give it to God. And all that. Do you know what he said? He said, Mezendoye yododo. Yours is painful. What about the others? Theirs is so painful. Eh? Because it's not near you. It took place somewhere. So that one is nothing. Yours. The way you cut your own neck. The way you, your own wife this time is gone. So now, what you know, yododo. So you are crying and he will not be comforted. So for you, why they catch you there? That is how it is, ladies and gentlemen. What I'm trying to tell us is that, you see, deceptional, something good you do, it's not a bad thing for you to you should sacrifice, but it can undermine the sacrifice of Jesus. It can become so real to you, and you can become so focused on it and speak on it with more passion than the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's true. Because that one is not too real. It's far. It's somebody who died. Somebody shed his blood. His name is called Jesus. But this one, I died. I cut my own throat. So you can be full of it. And that's the work of religious. When they want to deceive you, they let you focus on your blood. Not the blood of. When I say your blood, I'm talking about your personal sacrifice. How you wake up at dawn and you pray. And so you forget that. It is Jesus and his blood that even brings us near to God. Have you come across? Sometimes you hear people saying that prayer and you feel close to God. Is it prayer that makes us feel close to God? Is it your prayer that you woke up, you prayed at dawn, that makes you feel close to God? Is it your praises that makes you feel close to God? No. Do you know what brings us close to God? The Bible says that the blood of Jesus has brought us near. So, pastor, what about if I am praying and I feel close to God? Should I attribute it to the prayer or to the worship that made me feel close? No. You attribute it to Jesus' sacrifice. Colossians, we have been brought nigh not nine or nine by prayer. Hallelujah. Don't take it from Jesus. Religious spirits will want you to circumvent the cross and always think about your cross, what you did, because they want to defeat you. Because all your efforts, anything that focuses you on you is religious. Anything that focuses you on Jesus, his person, his principles, and his performance is kingdom oriented. That's the surest foundation. Anything that focuses on your works, your efforts, all your efforts, all your works, and all that, they are not a sure foundation. The surest foundation is Jesus' works, is Jesus' performance, effort. The devil knows that as long as we stand on that, he can't defeat us. But when you stand on yours, you're soon going to bring a certain Christian your way, a certain man of God your way, and you look at the person's sacrifice, and look at your sacrifice, and you feel that you are nothing. Yes, you feel that you are nothing. I will tell you, you are not like that. You are not like that. You haven't sacrificed even to the point of death like this one. You make sure the devil is not happy with any sacrifice that you do. He will let you go on until you kill yourself. Oh yeah, you come to you and say that, but you say what, you have given this. No, you have to give everything. This one has given everything. Please, don't follow people like that. Hallelujah. Pastor, are you saying that God doesn't lead us to so sacrifice ourselves that we will die? God leads us. Is he leading you to that? Hallelujah. So I just want you to watch it, because you see, when man fell in the Garden of Eden, the first thing Adam and Eve did was to use their own effort and discipline themselves. You say, Eve, bring one, and then they bring it and they sow it. Bring another. Do you know the discipline of sowing? You sow the thing. You say, Eve, come and try it and let me. Eve tries the dress. You say that the hip one is too big, and Adam will trim it. Look it nice. So Eve, wear it and let me. And Eve wears it. Okay, fine. Now your shape has come. Now it's good. Help me to sew mine. And then they sew the thing. When God came to look at it, do you know why they did that? They wanted to cover up. They wanted to cover up a mess they had created. A mess they had. Because they saw that they were naked. They wanted to make up. So that what? Ladies and gentlemen, were they covering themselves so that the horses will not see their naked? Was it horses they were? Or the cow will not see that they are naked? Was it cows, Baba? Was it cows? Or was it the crow flying around? They wanted to cover their naked so that they presentable before God. Who was he who comes before God? God came, looked at the thing, and tore everything off. Clothed them with it. You are blessed. I've clothed properly. This is my way of being presentable for me. Animals, not human effort. So you must, from the very beginning, we learned this lesson. You must always be careful about human effort. Pastor, are you saying that we shouldn't make human effort? Are you saying that we shouldn't give our all? Are you saying that we shouldn't make sacrifice? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying to you that religious spirit, as you do these things, will get you focused on your sacrifice and all that as the way of looking presentable before God. Sometimes we present ourselves to God, not so. And we go, instead of going in the name of Jesus, we go in our name. We say that, Lord, you know, I sacrificed this, I did that. Me, I'm holy. Every dawn, I wake up and I pray and all that. God looks at the cloth and God tears it off. It's better you come and say that, Lord, I come to you because of Jesus and what he did for me, that I believe was done on my behalf, and I assume it, and I come in boldness to your throne asking you to do this. God, look, he glorifies, he does it. Hallelujah. So be careful about that one. It's a snake, very deceptive, that you need to take care of. How many have you got? We have to end it. We have to end here. God bless us for... God help us to take up serpents. Hallelujah. By preaching the gospel of the kingdom, exposing deception of religion, so that our life will be centered on Jesus' person, principles, or what he stood for, what he stands for now. What do you think Jesus stands for now? Think about it. Wonderful thing. You see, he stands for what? Forgiveness. He stands for what? Righteous. He stands for love, for infinite love for you. Anything that will focus you on what Jesus has done on the cross, what he's doing in heaven for you right now. That is not a contradiction of the cross, but that one is exalting the cross. God is excited. Hallelujah. As we grow in our lives, do you know what happens? When you begin, you feel like, oh, pastor, no. You see, we did this by faith. I mean, we are a sacrifice. As you grow up, you see more of Jesus and very less of all that you, what you, 10 steps and all that. When they ask you, you don't even have anything. It's all glory to the pastor. When you speak like that, are you not deceiving people to think that it is all glory to the Lamb? It is no deception at all. Let them know that all glory to the Lamb. As they follow the Lamb, you see that they also come to that place where they say, all glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Sometimes we want to balance. No. Jesus' work is not 50% to an hour to 50%. You add it together. Have you seen that wisdom? Or maybe you see Jesus is 80%, but you see there is a human part, 20%, you add it and then everything will be fine. Who said his work is not complete? It's complete. It's 100. 100. Pastor, does it mean that you don't do anything on your own? You do something, but you don't do it with the aim that you will win God's approval. Our approval comes by the faith that we have in the sacrifice on the cross. That is what God approves us. We just show our love for him by living well. Simple. It's love for him by living. Not that we get God's approval by our life. Don't follow David who says this. When we are pleading our case now, we plead our case knowing who we are. That as he, so are we. You have a case because Jesus gave you a strong, how do you call it? What's the word? Ironclad case. You know, if you're a lawyer, you have a very strong case. Fine case. You know you can win. In Jesus, we have a fine case. Hallelujah. Wonderful. It's all the glory to Jesus. What about us, Pastor? What about us? He motivates us. Yes, we do it. Do you know why? Because we love him. We follow his example. Simple. It ends there.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.